It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Welcome to the Extra Sauce Podcast.
It's my fancy sauce.
I want some fancy sauce.
Yeah.
I'm not done using it.
With the czar of sauces, Greg Hill.
Well, well, well. I have been waiting, Mr. Shu, for this moment for a long time.
So have all of us, Greg.
I have been waiting for a public apology, which is going to come at some point during this podcast.
And well, thank you.
You're a relationship expert.
Am I really?
You've been married to Mrs. Shu for
20 years.
For 20 years.
Yeah.
How did you two meet, by the way?
I was in a band at the time, and she was standing right up front in front of the band, and in a drunken state, I leaned over and gave her a kiss.
Oh, those kind of things got our current president in a lot of trouble.
It got me in a lot of trouble. Now that I look back on it after 20 years.
What were you playing, the tambourine in the band?
That's about as much talent as I have, Greg. You're absolutely right. And I was like a singer, but it was more like yelling into a microphone. But ever since then, we've been very good friends.
You know, as a relationship guy, how tough it is to get a relationship back on track. But at some point during this podcast, we will begin the process of trying to patch up a relationship which has gone bad.
It's work.
Yeah, it is. It is.
It's work.
Also, on episode 3 of Extra Sauce, we are going to do a follow-up on an ear moth, mm-hmm. which I believe aired twice this week.
Yes.
Inadvertently. You know, the very best ear moth is delivered in a topical manner based on what we are talking about.
Right.
What is in the news?
So it can't really be inadvertent.
It has to be timed out
right.
in the right way.
Yeah.
So this particular ear moth aired twice this week on the show, and we're going to get a little extra sauce on the artist who had a hit with this ear moth. From the actual artist himself.
Yes.
On the podcast today.
Yes.
And so that's all coming up on this episode 3 of Special Sauce. While I wait for my public apology, I just wanted to do a little extra sauce on Tuesday's storm.
Right.
Because we discussed, in fact, we had the governor on Tuesday morning. From the, I don't think he was at the MEMA bunker. He was at the transportation building.
Yes, he was. Yep.
And it had yet to start snowing heavily here in Boston, even though 2 feet of snow had been predicted by the National Weather Service. So mm-hmm. we were busting his nuts. And it's interesting to me that we learned that the National Weather Service knew at some point on Monday afternoon that Winter Storm Stella was not going to be the storm, the massive blizzard that they thought it was. And yet they refused to tell everybody about it because they still wanted people to, you know, respect the storm or whatever. I read today that New York lawmakers are bullshit, that they were not told by the National Weather Service so that they could allot their the plows, the mm-hmm. resources mm-hmm. in the places where they needed to. Like upstate New York got 30 inches of snow.
Right.
The city got 4 inches or 3 or whatever.
Right.
What do you think the National Weather Service should be held accountable like we hold or try to hold everybody else accountable in this country?
Well, the problem there is the science isn't exact.
Yeah.
It's the weather. And as we know, as lifelong residents of New England, the weather changes every 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So it's hard to hold someone accountable for something that could change in a matter of seconds. But if they already know and they could let us know that, hey, it's going to turn into rain or you're not going to get as much around Boston or something, if they knew that and withheld that information, you know, that's something else, because it really comes back to money.
Yeah.
And it's like you said, the New York lawmakers, they're worried about infrastructure and the, you know, Department of Transportation. Here in Boston, you talked about this on the show. Well, a lot of businesses in Boston called it for
because
the day.
They were panicked.
Right.
People shut down their businesses.
Right.
And employees are, you know, afraid to go to work and because they think it's going to be a blizzard when mm-hmm. it ended up being 6 inches of snow in
right.
Boston.
Right. And you know? And so potential customers, clients, whoever, decided, you know, you closed, so they're yeah. not going to go anywhere near your business.
Yeah.
And so that's going to cost you. So there's got to be some kind of safety. And, you know, and when I say it's all about money, I also mean that with the National Weather Service.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that they're worried about their jobs.
Yeah.
You know, and so there's also that whole litigation thing. So they say, oh, you know what? The storm isn't going to be so bad. Next thing you know, some guy's drives into a telephone pole, comes down on his car. He like breaks his back or whatever. Now he's going to sue the National Weather Service.
I want transparency. If we have to yeah. have transparency everywhere else, I want it from the National Weather Service.
So. Fake weather. It's fake weather.
It's not fake weather.
Yeah.
All right.
Alternative weather.
You know who's on the phone? My former best friend, a man who I have mentored from a young age. And I don't know. He arrived here in this city in his early 20s looking to make a name for himself. I began to advise him in all kinds of life matters, important life matters. He's gone on to an incredible career in the NFL,
mm-hmm.
won multiple Super Bowls.
Yeah, yeah.
And all I had asked for after the recent Patriots Super Bowl victory was a phone call for the listeners. And it's not for me.
You sure?
I don't need to talk to Julian Edelman
sure?
after the Super Bowl. I want it for the listeners. And he's off doing, you know, Jimmy Fallon and 12 different ESPN shows and
hacks.
Shows on the Home Shopping Network. And every possible thing he could do. However, I have agreed for a few moments today on Extra Sauce to get a little Extra Sauce apology from Julian Edelman of the New England Patriots.
You know, it's good to finally hear you. I mean, I feel like we've lost contact.
Lost contact?
I feel like we've lost contact.
What, we've lost contact because a once great friendship has been deserted by a guy. I mean, you win a Super Bowl, and all I want is a phone call, and we've been unable to have you on the show. I don't get it.
Hilly, you know, I got kids now. I got. You think this Burger Time? You think this Burger Time stuff just grows on trees? This takes hours and hours of commitment to content. Content.
Yeah, no,
along
I know.
With strolling around my little daughter, just trying to show her the fruit of my loin. Even if I don't know if you could use that there, but that's what I've been doing.
I don't think
so
that came.
Sorry for being a,
I don't think
sorry
that
for
came,
being a good dad, Greg.
I'm glad you're being a good dad. I don't think that came out right, but the fruits of the loins thing or whatever. But we get the point. We understand the point. And the I guess it's tough because you know how relationships work, and you're talking about your daughter, and you're a guy that's had you've been in several high profile relationships with smoking chicks, and so you understand how it works. I mean, you have to you get out of a relationship what you put into it, and I feel like it's a little bit mismatched right now. Like I can't be the one who's always texting. I can't be the one who's always suggesting that we go out for dinner. I can't be the only one who's involved in this relationship. You have to be all in.
Hey, I'm all in, but there's an old saying, Greg. Actually, I won't go down that road.
No, you can.
Let's just say, you know, we're all in here, Bubs. It's just, got a bunch of stuff on the plate. You know, I'm at a smorgasbord right now, and I got to handle all this. I got business. I got kid.
Yeah.
I got living. I got training. I'm over here trying to get down to run routes right now.
Oh, you are?
I'm over here driving them. Yeah, man, driving this sweet convertible Miata in L.A. You know, I mean, it's just living right now, bro. I'm just trying to live.
I saw that video of you running on the beach the other day. Not that I was creeping or anything, but is that what you're doing? Are you going down to run routes right now?
No, I just finished that. Now I'm going to run routes.
And that
was sunset. We did sun dawn sprints. Sun dawn.
Are you
dawn of the sun?
Now is the are you? Does Tom throw for you while you're running routes?
Not always. Not always. Sometimes I gotta throw with other guys. I gotta get the lowdown on what these other quarterbacks are all about around this league. Just to keep an eye on the talent. You know, we got eyes everywhere here in New England.
What do you think?
I want to see what these guys are made of.
What do you think is gonna happen with Jimmy G?
I have no clue.
But if you had to guess, Bubs. I mean, he's a good quarterback.
I don't like guessing. Guessing reminds me of back when I was taking like the SAT, and that gives me like the ick feeling in my stomach.
Yeah.
Like I do not want to start guessing right now because that didn't help me in the SAT, so I'm not even gonna go down that road.
Did you just hit something? What happened over there?
Oh, the Miata. Sometimes it gets a little crazy.
Yeah.
This thing's a 4-cylinder supercharged, baby.
Have you tried any of, speaking of Tom Brady, have you tried any of his prepackaged meals yet?
I haven't. You know, I got to take a little glimpse at that. I'm more of a Stouffer's guy.
Yeah, I am too. I like the Salisbury steak.
I like microwavable dinners. Yeah, exactly. You know, a little the American chop suey, all that kind of stuff.
What are we talking here? A month and a... I guess almost 2 months from the Super Bowl.
A month and a week or something?
A month and a week. That was a full month and a week during which you could have called the show. But you've had some time to digest the comeback and to digest the catch. And I love the fact that you were mic'd up, and I loved everything about that. Are you still surprised that you made that catch?
I don't know if I'm surprised. A lot of things had to go my way on the catch. But the one thing you're taught as a receiver, you always got to keep your eye on the ball. And that's all I tried to do is keep the eye on the ball. And when you do that, good things happen. So. You know, it was definitely a crazy play, but, you know, the more important thing is to see how many other guys made a bunch of big plays on that drive. Dola right after makes that big play. You know, you got Hogs making plays, Malcolm making a third down play, James White making plays. I mean, it was just the way the game was going at that time, and it was just, truthfully, it was just cool and an honor to be a part of that drive and that comeback, man. It was... You sit back and you see all this footage of it on all these little stations and stuff when you're sitting at home, and it's still pretty pretty surreal to think about. And it tells you how that team was, how that year was, and that's just a special group of guys, and it was an unbelievable story. And I said it was going to be a hell of a story, and it turned out to be a hell of a story. Now,
if you had to try to define what it was about this team this year, what allows a team to come back like that and obviously end up playing the greatest Super Bowl ever in the history? What is it? What was it about that team this year?
I mean, that game was a microcosm of our season. You know, there was a bunch of holes. There's a bunch of bumps. And, you know, you start the game and you're missing your best player. You down the road, one of your other best players gets hurt. He's out. And it just shows you the resiliency and the mental toughness that team had. And, you know, in the two teams that I've been on, that have won Super Bowls, that's been a crucial ingredient, is having a mental toughness about yourself and a tough, smart football team. And, you know, of course, a lot of things got to go your way, but You know, never thinking you're out of the game. You know, that's a mentality. That's a mentality. And, you know, I'm just super proud of our guys, and I'm super proud to be a part of that team.
I always think about that organizationally and how, you know, because whether you're running a business or you're trying to motivate people who work for you, like how does that mentality come to be? Is it all Belichick, or is it other leaders, or it's obviously a learned thing, or is it something that guys have inside them all along?
I think it's a combination. It always starts at the top, you know, with our owner, our coach, Coach Belichick, and Mr. Kraft, you know, instilling in a lot of these guys, a lot of these younger players, and a lot of the veteran players they keep around to really just worry about what you have on your plate at that moment. You know, not worrying about things you can't control. And you can use that in any facet of life. You know, there's an old saying, you know, the difference between a winner and a loser is the winner's thinking about winning, the loser's thinking about the winner. You know, if that winner is thinking about everything he can do to try to win a game, doesn't matter what the score is, and winning the game is winning that individual play, going out and try to win each and every individual play. Now, we didn't do that for a lot of that game, but when we hunkered down and we did it in the end, you know, it kind of showed, you know, hey, let's just worry about what we control. If we start playing the game right, who knows what can happen. And, you know, that's kind of how it went down.
Is that Frank
talk?
Goes down. Is that saying Frank talk, or is somebody else get the credit for that?
You know, that's definitely, I think, a Frank talk. I think that's definitely a Frank talk right there, old Frankie.
We had some callers to the show when the Frank special aired talking about parenting their kids and parenting their kids in sports and wondering whether they should be a little bit harder on their kids or whether that borders on too much. When you think back about your dad and how much he worked with you and what he did with you growing up, do you feel like that's a big part of why you're a superstar in the NFL today?
I think it's a huge part. And not just my dad, but my mother, being the support system that I had and being, you know, the glue that held that family together. You know, it's a little different nowadays. I don't know the rules and regulations of how you can coach and all that stuff. But sometimes you need a little butt whooping, and sometimes you need to be, you know, told what to do. And you may not like what you're being told, but it's crazy because your parent would always say you'll find out. You'll find out what I mean in the future. You'll understand when you get older. And a lot, you know, when you're a kid, you're kind of bitching and complaining about it, and you don't want to do it, but you end up doing it, and it was hard. It was so hard. But then once you got through it and you accomplished what you wanted to do, that hard wasn't that hard. I don't know if I'm making sense at
all. No, you are. Oh, I think it's because a lot of it, now that you're a dad, you probably start to think about that more, right? I mean, what's the most interesting thing so far about being a father?
The most interesting thing is just seeing, like, this little human who is a little creation of you, and you see her little personality, and you see how she can grow so much in such a little amount of time, and you see a little bit of you here, and you see a little bit of your mom here, you see a little bit of your dad here, and it's just a feeling of proudness, because it's your family, you know, it's a piece of you and what you've come from. And, you know, then you start thinking, you know, my parents lived for me and did everything for me. You know, you can only do the same for your child. So you know, it's one of those things where it's you don't really know love until you had a kid.
Yeah.
I think. At least.
Or until.
You know, and, yes, there's been love, but.
Yeah, or
different kind of love.
Or until you've mentored a young man and become close with a younger male friend.
Exactly. I mean, you know, that's love too in its own. That's love. That's bro love.
That's bro love. That really is bro love. Speaking of love, everybody's going to kill me if I don't ask you about your current relationship status, because it's been news of late. Are you what are you doing? You dating? You happy? What's the scenario?
I have a lot of time with my little baby girl. That's what I have right now.
All right, that's what's most important, right?
That's the most important thing right now.
All right. Well, I think that's a good answer. Everybody'll be satisfied with that, I guess. Right. Yeah.
You know, I can't satisfy all.
Well, at least you're trying. You've given it a good try. So off season, I should probably ask a football question at least. How great is the fact that Dante will be back for 4 years?
I mean, that's huge. You know, he's a big part of our locker room. He's a leader on our team. You know, he's a guy that does a lot by example, plays hurt, and keeps that defense in check. I mean, those guys, you know, the linebackers like the quarterback, and you know, to have a guy like a physical specimen like him is special, but to have a teammate like him, you know, the kind of guy he is, I think that makes it even better. You know, it's just good to have for the team.
Did you say anything to Roger Goodell after the Super Bowl?
I didn't even see him.
No?
I didn't see him, so I did not say anything to Mr. Goodell.
And what's your situation? You got a year left, right?
Yeah. I got a year left, Greg.
it's interesting. I mean, listen, because I always think this, I think it's probably because I'm a homer and I'm a masshole, but I always feel like this is an amazing city and that guys will want to stay here forever and play here forever. And guys say that, but do you feel like that now? Or how do you feel at this moment with a year left?
You know, it goes in that factor of worrying what's on your plate right now. And, you know, I love being a New England Patriot. And I'm looking forward to this next year and doing everything I can to prepare my body, my mind, my soul to give 110% to this team coming up this April. So, you know, that's all I'm really worrying about. Of course, there's a business aspect of the game, but I mean, that's what you have an agent for, and that's what they have their other division for, and you know, that all handles itself. You know, if you just consistently try to play good football, good things happen, not just in your football life, but in everything, and that's with your work. You know, if you do good work, good things happen. So, who knows? I'm just worried about right now. These routes I'm about to run, I'm pretty tired after running some of that beach. You know, I'm trying to compete with Hogan. I mean, I see him putting up these dang Instagram videos of him doing sprint work. You know, I gotta compete with this guy now. And we got new Brandon Cooks. I mean, that's gonna be a huge addition.
Yeah.
I mean, we got some speedsters, so I gotta step up my game.
How did you think the parade this year ranked versus the previous one that you were a part of?
You know, the parades and winning is like, they're all like kids. You know, you love them all in their own different way. You know, so the first one was obviously a special one because, you know, we had the whole Ferris Bueller's Day Off going. This second one was unreal. We had, what do we have, 1.1 million people there.
Yeah.
You know, it's just crazy to see the support. that this region, because it's not even just Boston, it's a region, man. That's the cool thing about New England. You got Vermont, New Hampshire, Rhode Island, half of Connecticut, Maine, all these people, and they support us like no other. It's not like we play for a city. We play for a region. Did I miss any, Greg?
No, you got them all. You got them all.
I got them all.
Yeah, you got them all.
You know, so, you know, it's a special place to play for. You know, I've been here for 8 years now, and, you know, I've seen the Red Sox win a World Series. I've been to a Bruins game when they've won the Cup. I've been to, you know, right when I got here, the Celtics won. I mean, it's a special place to get to play professional sport for.
I think it was better when you were completely hammered, going hard for a couple days. I don't know if I like mature father Julian Edelman at these parade kind of things.
You get older, you can't recover. You know, you do one of those things, and it knocks you out for a week.
Tell me about it.
You know, I had a lot of fun. You know, it was just great to spend, you know, those days right after the game with your teammates. And, you know, it's such a high-stress environment when you're going through the year. You got your mind in the game so much that you – sometimes lose perspective of how special things really are when you got a group of guys with a common goal that go out and achieve that goal. So it's it was an awesome year, but you know, now we got to be on to the next one, because you know the train keeps moving, and if you're not on the train, you'll get left behind.
Okay, Bubs.
That's another Frank thing.
That's a Frankism. Like a Frankism. That's right a there, Frankism. Man. That's a little Frank talk. Absolutely. Are you gonna go see Gronk in his movie debut this weekend?
Where's it at? Is it in L.A.?
It's in the theaters. I don't know how many theaters it's gonna be in.
I want to see the Gronk, action hero Gronk.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's got a small role, and who was the actress who was bitching about the fact that it took him multiple takes and he was not a team player? Joanna Krupa, the actress, said that that he wasn't a team player because he wasn't out promoting the movie.
Players gonna hate, players gonna play.
Yeah, no,
like
I know.
We just shake it off.
I don't like that. I don't like Joanna Krupa saying that about. Hey, I don't appreciate it.
That's some bull.
I know.
You know? Hey, that girl's not like a natural actor. Probably he's just getting into it. So let him grow.
That's right.
Let him grow. He's a method actor. He's gotta get right.
How's California? I mean, how's it? How is it being back home?
It's good. You know, it's always good to get out here and see your friends and family, and you know, I got to get back up to the Bay Area. But
do you have to change your attitude, like, because I feel like when you're here, you're kind of an honorary masshole. But I feel like when you go back out to California, that you're going to be laid, you know, you're going to be laid back, you know, kale soup eating, quinoa smoking Julian Edelman.
You know what? I tell you right now, the more I leave Boston and you go to other places, realistically, like when you get back home to Boston, you're like, man, I'm happy to be home. You know, it's a different way of life out here. That's for sure. And yeah, I try to keep, there's a little more quinoa out here, and yeah, there's definitely some better ripened tomatoes and avocado, but, you know, I like the people in Boston. I'm not gonna lie. I like the people in Boston. Out here, everyone, it's just a little different, you know?
They're fake.
Everyone's got their own agenda.
They're fake people, and I'll tell you the other thing that drives me crazy is they're bought.
I wouldn't say that, but...
Well,
you know, it's just everyone's got some fake people now, but
yeah,
you know, it's I do like being back in Boston. That's for sure. It's just those cold winters, man. You know, playing in the cold, when you're in out there playing in a cold game, you dream of the time you get to come out to, like, 70-degree weather and, like, sweat instead of freeze.
A lot of body shamers out there, too. You know, like, everybody's in shape, and they throw it in your face, and... You know, you put on a few pounds because you're 50, and they're throwing it in your face.
That is true, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, you're 100% true on that one. A lot of body people out here.
Yeah.
A lot of six packs.
I can't stand it.
And I'm not talking about Yingling.
All right, Bubs. Well, I'm glad we made up, and the relationship is back on track.
Hey, we're back, man. That phone works two ways. I mean, I know I haven't called you, but have you called me?
I will. I'm going to resume calling you every day, and checking in, and maybe just maybe if you can't talk to me on the phone, maybe you can just send me a text and let me know that you're thinking about me.
Hey, send me your email. I'm better on the email.
All right, I'll text you my email. I feel like I'm kind of being dumped. I feel like going from talking to text to email is kind of impersonal.
Actually, how about you hit me in the DM on Instagram?
All right, okay, I'm gonna
hit the DM.
All right, I'll DM you on the gram. All right, that sounds good. All right,
DM me, bro.
We'll see you. When are you back home?
I gotta go, Greg. I gotta go.
All right, goodbye. Goodbye. I'm going to take Edelman at his word that he was honest and he was being serious and that he wants to work on repairing the relationship.
Of course you are, Greg.
I mean, I think that's probably the best way to go. We'll begin therapy and see if we can get back to where we were.
Couples therapy? Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, we're going for older man, younger man, couples therapy.
That sounds
not
creepy.
Weird. It's bro therapy.
Weird. It's weird.
It's.
I'm just glad he called. I'm so sick of hearing about it.
I know.
Thank you for calling, Julia.
So is everybody else. All right, we begin this week a new feature on Extra Sauce, and oftentimes when we play the hook of a song,
right,
and we refer to it as an ear moth, listeners go, What's an ear moth? So I have to explain that. First of all, an earworm is the scientific term that is used to explain a psychological phenomenon in which you hear a song during the day. Maybe you're in the dentist office. Maybe you're at the grocery store.
And these are all the places you will hear these kinds of songs.
Yes, right. Yes. And then you find yourself later that evening, 24 hours later, 48 hours singing the hook to that song because it is lodged in your brain like a worm in your ear.
I hate it when it's the first thing in the morning. You just open your eyes and it's there.
Yeah.
It's right there. Yeah.
So we did a news story one time that had amazing, epic, terrifying video that accompanied it where a guy had a moth, a big, gigantic moth that was stuck in his ear. And it was stuck in there forever. He had to go to the doctor to try to get it out. They had to do surgery and yank the thing out with tweezers. And
disgusting.
It was terrifying and irrational, fear-like and disgusting. So we likened the situation with the ear worm to the actual ear moth, and that's why we call it an ear moth.
Right.
So the new segment on Extra Sauce is called Behind the Ear Moth. And earlier this week, a couple times, we earmothed a song called Key Largo because Key Largo, Florida was in the news.
We had it all, just like Bogey and Bacall, starring in our old late, late show, sailing away to Key Largo.
The artist who had a hit in 1981 with Key Largo, a top 40 hit. His name is Bertie Higgins, and we've tracked him down, and we're gonna go behind the ear moth right now with Bertie.
Great to be with you, Mr. Shue and Mr. Hill.
I got to tell you this. I want to thank you for providing me with one of the most romantic songs ever when it comes to ear moths. Oh. And I don't know how the song came to be, and if you were a fan of the great romance between Bogey and Bacall, But certainly those who are looking for a little extra sauce this week on that hit song want to know, Bernie.
Well, my girlfriend and I had split up. I'm from Tarpon Springs, Florida, which is near Tampa, and we spent a lot of time in the Florida Keys. And we were into Bogart and Bacall and Bogart movies, old black and whites, and we'd lay up down in the Florida Keys and watch it, amongst other things.
you were coiting like animals, is what you're saying, Bernie.
Well, you know, we were, yeah. At any rate, moving on, we split up. I missed her desperately. And I said, Bert, the only way you're going to get this damn girl back is to put something on the radio. You know, so I finally wrote it. It took me a while. Didn't write it particularly for the radio, just wrote it, inspired by our split up. And I'll never forget the day that only one station in the United States was playing at WWID Gainesville, Georgia. And we were living in Atlanta, and it just, when the weather was right, it would flow over into Atlanta and go up WQXI and all those stations in Atlanta. Well, I told her, I said, can you meet me today? Well, for what? We're over. Well, okay, honey. I still love you. Would you meet me? So I met her at 1 o'clock, and I had an arrangement with the program director. Would you play this song at 1 o'clock for me? And he did, and we're sitting in my car. And I said, I want you to listen to this. And this is WWID Gainesville Blah, and all of a sudden the song came on. And she turned to me and said, is that you? And I said, yes, it is me, darling. And after the song, she says, that was wonderful, but you were flat on the last chorus.
Did you get her back, though, Bertie? Did you get her back?
Well, I guess the next line out of her mouth is, where's my BMW?
Oh, man.
You know what's amazing?
Yes, I got her back. We got married.
You ended up getting... So that's a love song. If you can write a love song for a chick, if you can play guitar, not only can you get her in bed, but you end up marrying her. That's amazing.
It is amazing. Normally, you can't turn things around unless there's certain things you need to do. And if anyone ever gets in that boat, I'll tell them how to do it. Because if it's going to work, it's going to work.
I heard a very similar story when I interviewed John Cougar. That's what he was calling himself at the time. And
I prefer John Cougar, by the way, but go ahead.
Yeah, I do too. The Mellencamp part was goofy. But he wrote the song Ain't Even Done With The Night for the same thing, to get a girl back. And he wrote that song. It became a bit of a hit. And he saw her at a party, and they went out in his Camaro, and he put the cassette in and played the song for her. And at the end of it, she didn't even listen to the song. She started telling him how happy she was. She was engaged to somebody else.
Oh,
and it
was, God.
And it didn't work. It worked for Bernie Higgins, but it didn't work for John Mellencamp or John Cougar.
Well, you know, we then we split up for a little while in our marriage. Same trip. I mean, it happened all over again. And so we're meant to be. That's all there is to it.
You know, the song is factually incorrect, I believe.
No, it's not.
Because I don't believe that Bogey and Bacall sailed away to Key Largo. Wasn't Bacall already there?
I don't know, probably. But here was the deal. People say, well, they never said, here's looking at you, kid, in the movie.
Right.
But I said, listen to the lyric. It is not about Key Largo. It's about old movies in general.
Right.
But, you know, we loved Key Largo, and I grew up a lot there with my father. We'd go down every summer and crayfish in the Gulf. And I was a water boy since I was a kid, you know, diving, spearfishing, killing anything that moved in the water and then eating it.
I can tell what you were killing when I look at the cover of the 45, because handsome guy. I mean, you were rocking an unbelievable beard, the long hair down to the shoulders. You were meeting a lot of ladies in Florida, I would guess, in the 80s.
Yeah, all Don Johnson inspired from Miami Vice.
Hey, Bertie, I got to ask you. You were just inducted into the Florida Music Hall of Fame. Is that correct?
Correct.
And your good friend inducted you, right?
Yeah, Bert's been a friend of mine for years. We worked together on some of his TV work, and I taught at his school down in Jupiter, Florida, about cabaret singing to his students.
That's Burt Reynolds, by the way, Greg.
Burt Reynolds?
Yeah.
And really?
Yeah.
Who do you think nailed more hot chicks? You in the heyday of the song, or Burt Reynolds?
Well, he used to give me his culls.
Oh, really?
No, I'm kidding.
He'd give you his throwaways. You got Burt Reynolds.
That's right. The ones that didn't make the grade.
You got his sloppy seconds. You ended up with Burt Reynolds' sloppy seconds.
Worse, you know, it could be Charles Manson's sloppy seconds.
Yeah, that's true. Very true, bro.
All right. Well, listen, it has been an honor.
Let me tell you two more things.
Yeah, go ahead.
Done with it.
Yeah.
I was knighted 2 months ago. I am now Sir Bertie Higgins.
Really? Oh, you were knighted Sir Bertie Higgins?
I am. So a lot's been going on. In fact, the Bellamy brothers and I just did a duet together. And out of just a whim, I entered in the international acoustic competition, and we won.
Well, I have to go ear moth, Let Your Love Flow by the Bellamy brothers for lunch. So, Bertie, thank you for giving us a little extra sauce on your 1981 top 40 hit, Key Largo.
Okay, boys.
So Bertie Higgins has been knighted.
Sir Bertie Higgins.
They really hand those things out like banks hand out lollipops in England now. Have you noticed?
Dude,
Come on. Wait, we had one top 40 hit.
Obviously, the Queen loved that song.
Yeah, that's probably what it was. I don't know what that says about me. If the Queen of England and I have the same musical taste.
You know, LB would hit that.
Of course he would. All right. Well, Mike Shue and I want to thank you for listening to Episode 3 of Extra Sauce, our weekly podcast. And we'll be back again next week. As always, if there's anything that you would like to hear during Extra Sauce, something we discussed during the week, you want a little extra sauce on it, or some Radio Gold Extra Sauce, a moment from the show that you really enjoyed that you'd like to hear again, or you just want us to reach out and go behind the ear moth like we did today, we'll do that anytime. And you can get a hold of me in various ways to communicate on that, whether it's on Twitter or Instagram or any of the social platforms, or the old-fashioned way, you can call the show or you can text. That's Episode 3 of Extra Sauce. Thank you for listening.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.